So when did I say, draw a picture? You'll be drawing an Egyptian woman, you won't know why. That's a matter of fact. Many people have drawn picture. Which kind of husband would you like to marry? If your favorite actor is Denzel Washington, any broad that doesn't look like Denzel should please forget you. That's a matter of fact. If you have been watching film and you're thinking of RMD, and anytime the guy is acting, I like the way he talks, I like, say, paint a picture. He said, bro, RMD, borrow me that your photo. And as a matter of fact, let's remember something. Adam did not know what Eve was supposed to look like. You know why? He had never seen an Eve. For someone to tell you that, no, God cannot give it to you unless you have a picture of it, that is not Bible. It's not Bible. What could Adam ask for? A help that is suited for him. That's all. So they say, God, ask in faith. Abraham, ask in faith. Say, Lord, I ask you for a help that is suited for me. Let the word of God go out and decide the wife that is suited for Adam. And the day Adam will see the wife, he will say, Yahweh, this is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones. A woman she shall be called, even though he had never seen one. What God just told him that you need, now I'm paraphrasing, putting things together. What the Lord said to him is that you need a help that is suited for you, even though he had never seen one. In fact, I don't want to talk about that now. One of the things that God did to Adam, when he said, name all the animals of the field, you know what God did to him in that process? He showed him that no matter how much you exert yourself, you cannot decide for your life what is good for you. We don't have time to analyze that now. When he said, name all the animals, the naming, go and read it in context. The naming was not, the lion is a name. Today's naming ceremony for a lion. What God said to Adam was, I've given you a name. Help suited for me. Put it in an animal, let me see. That's what God dared him to do. It was like a dare. So he saw the dog and he loved the dog. And the dog was with him for some time, but all Bingo could do was whoo, whoo, whoo. Chase some other animals around the house. Adam said, this will not work. All the movies he has seen the finest dogs in, the day they gave him a dog, he said, this one cannot take that name that God has given me. Now, what I've told you is not a joke. Go and read it in context. I don't want to go through that, but you will see something. The Bible says that the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will find him a help that is made suited for him. Then, next thing is, the man now went and named the animals. But amongst them, there was not one found that was suited. Then God caused him to sleep. That's the sequence. Go and read it. It was that sequence. So naming out the animals was not, the Bingo needs a name. Let's give Bingo a name. You know, no. It was find one that is suited. He named all the animals and none was suited. Then God made Eve and brought Eve to him also and said, give this one a name. He said, now this is bone of my bones. What am I saying to you? He had never seen Eve. He could not describe Eve. In your life also, when people say that, describe the woman that you want perfectly, you cannot. How can you describe what you have never seen? Eyes have not yet seen it. Ears have not yet heard what God wants to do in your life. So what do you ask for? That's why I say, your request must be restricted to God's word. I've seen people pray prayers like, God, I want my wife to be from an area where my parents will like. Where did the Bible tell you that what your parents like is important to God and who's your wife? So what do? You limit your request to what is recorded. It is not good for man to be alone. I'll give him what? A help that is suited for him. Say, Lord, I want a help that is suited for me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now I'm adding new scriptures now. Thou this for my inward part. So you understand what fits that inward part. All the things they tell you about human beings, just to draw this one by the side. They say opposites attract. Have you heard that thing before? You heard it before? Sure, I hope you know it's a lie. It's only in the magnetic world that opposites attract. Have you ever seen dog attracted to cat? Opposites don't attract, my friend. Let's get it right. It's only a magnet that North Pole attracts South Pole. In spiritual things, people attract their type. But usually it's in the deep ends, not on the surface. on the surface, this man likes to talk. He married a woman that does not like to talk. Opposites attract. This man likes to travel. Married a woman that doesn't like to travel. Opposites attract. Whew, lie. In the deep things, you know what he said? What agreement does light have with darkness? That's not opposite. He said they can't attract. So what I'm going to say here, it is not possible for you. Because David said it like this. He said, thou didst form my inward parts. So you know me inside out. He said, you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. For that reason, what was he saying? I leave it to you to choose the woman that is perfect for me. I don't know myself enough. You read through the Bible, we know we don't know ourselves enough. So, like I keep on saying, all the pictures you have on the wall, all the RMDs and Denzel Washington's on your wall, tear them apart. You don't know what is good for you. The Denzel Washington is a dog of Adam. The RMD is the monkey of Adam. All those pictures you drew are the serpents, the pythons of Adam. Adam has seen all of them. None of them is what? Suited for him. Tear them away. Let the word go out and decide by itself. I hope you're getting my point here. I'm talking about desires stimulated by interaction with the word of God. That's one major reason why prayers have not been answered for Christians. They have been having desires not stimulated by God's word. This is what where prayer life starts from. It doesn't start from, I have a need. No. Prayer life starts from, I don't know anything. So I take my Bible and I keep on reading. You are getting my point here?
Yes, sir.
I take my scriptures and I keep reading. The more I read, the more I discover things that God said I should want. The more I discover things that God said he wants to do in my life. Like you've heard me quote this scripture so many times. I've quoted it many times, Isaiah 66 verse 12. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. The day I read it, I told myself, that means lack is not my portion in life. But what struck me most there, he said, it flows towards. You know what I heard from it? Don't reverse the role. Don't reverse it. You should be in front, while the wealth of the nations is behind, coming towards you. Not banking. Why are you moving to Lagos? That's where the money is. Are you seeing how I've reversed the role? Why are you moving, relocating from Nigeria to Europe? That is where money is. I have subverted the word of God. So that desire, for me, all you need to do is prove to me that the only thing that's moving from one place to the other is money. I have a duty to God to say, no, I'm not doing. Even though it's not like it's a sin, but I've analyzed the only thing that is moving me there. No, I said, no, that's not the will of God. Why? Because I read the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Listen, many times, you know, the one that makes me laugh with Christians a lot of times is that they start arguing, you know, like, okay, before I go to that, I believe very strongly that old age is not a disease. I've heard preachers say it, the older you get, you start getting tired, you start taking it slow. I've heard preachers say it again and again and again. I refuse to accept it. For the simple reason, I read in the scriptures, Psalm 92. God said this is God's plan for his people. When they are old, age is not supposed to dry them up. They must remain full of what? Sap. That's it. Then beyond that, he starts giving us examples. He said, in the kingdom of God, the youth is 100 years old. Then he tells us that, look, Caleb at 85 was leading charges against giants. Moses was 120 years old. His strength, his eyes did not grow dim. His strength did not abate. Now, these are practical things. But we'll read from the scripture so it generates a desire. If all your life you have believed that old people are tired, you tell yourself, say it's a lie. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. It does not mean one day, as you are growing older, you won't grow tired. It means you have a legitimate prayer point now. I don't know whether you're getting my point. So you cannot say, Lord, I'm getting tired too these days. They say I should take it easy because of my age. And I'm angry at that counsel. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations. Now, the word has said it clearly. Ask of me, and I will give you strength for your old age. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you for strength for my old age as it is written. You quote those scriptures, and then listen to this. You start expecting strength to return to you. You start what? Expecting. That is the meaning of the word hope in the Bible. That is the meaning of the word hope. It is desire, or let me put it like this. It is expectation generated by revelation. Revelation have been the word of God. It doesn't mean, now this one I must emphasize. It doesn't mean you have experienced it yet. People want to disprove God by what they have experienced. No. Like I say all the time, if the will of God was done automatically, why would Jesus say it should be a prayer point? The reason why it's a prayer point is that it is not automatically done. So when I find my experience is different from the word I have studied, is different from what the scriptures say, I do not say, if it's indeed, you say that Christians can be healed. Why is that man not healed? Why did he die? Why is the one not healed? You know, start explaining the way through experience what the word of God is actually saying. Now, please, I hope you're getting my point here. So you see that the desire is generated by what we read. That is why faith can be constant. Because desire is not generated by what I like. Desire is not generated by a personal desire or somebody else's experience. Faith can be constant because this desire is triggered by the word of God. Are you getting my point here? That is why there is no prayer possible except, like Jesus said, the word of God dwells in you. He said, if you abide in me, what does that mean? By my word abiding in you. The word of God generates desires for us. I've told you before, just another example. After I studied my Bible, and I discovered what I call the curse of Noah. Remember the story about the curse of Noah? That why are black nations, African nations, down below? It is simply because they are operating under a curse. A brother asked me a few days ago a few questions about it. And I said, listen, no. I said, this is what I've understood. They said that other nations of the world, they may not be Christian nations like Japan, you know, and co, and they are prosperous. What is now wrong? Are we saying Christianity, you know, because we learned this as young believers, that the faith of Christ will help the country, the nations develop. How people will tell you this and that and that. Listen, this is the answer, which I discovered from God's word. Everybody operates under a blessing or a curse. Noah blessed Shem. Noah blessed Japheth. And Noah left a curse only for Ham. So if Shem descendants don't believe in Christ, they have a blessing to fall back upon. If Japheth's descendants don't believe in Christ, they have a small blessing to fall back upon. Descendants of Ham don't have anything to fall on. Once Christ is not in the picture, they are beneath permanently. They can't help it. They are beneath. Why? There's nothing else to fall back to. That is a matter of fact. So as a nation, let this world exist for 1 million years. The people will always be behind. It's a spiritual force that is keeping them behind. But then, we have the gospel of Christ. And the Bible says clearly, in Christ, there's no Jew or Gentile. There's no one that Abraham blessed, Noah blessed and Noah cursed. All are one in Christ. Every curse is broken in Christ. I believe that 100%. And like God did to Israel, he did not take away the snakes. He gave them a blessing in the brazen serpent on the pole. In the same manner, he doesn't have to withdraw the curse of Noah. He doesn't have to. He just, if you don't like it, leave where it is and enter into who? Into Christ. And believe me, I have entered into Christ. For that reason, I owe to God an obligation not to hold any descendant of Shem in high esteem. So I will not run anywhere looking for prosperity. Why? I have a right now. Ask of me, and I will give you a blessing because you are in Christ. I hope you're getting what I want to say here. That's how desires are generated. That is why some of us talk the way we do concerning our country. People think you are running commentary. We're not running commentary. We are prophesying. There's a difference. Commentary is what has happened. What happened? President fell sick. What happened? He won an election. What happened? The former president lost election. What happened? You will tell a story. We'll be commenting. And anytime you hear people, when you hear Nigerians, they say, look, no, pastor. Somebody did this to me recently. I know your heart. Your heart is pure. But let me tell you the truth that's going on. Now, what he didn't know, I couldn't tell you that, sir. I am not running comments on what happened because you fought in the war of 67 to 70. No. I'm running my own comments as prophetic words concerning what will happen hereafter. So you can tell me how devious a part of the country is, how the northerners planned, how the westerners did this, how the easterners did this, and south people did this one. I'm looking at you. I know all the counsel of the diviners will be frustrated. That's all I know. God will frustrate the counsel of diviners. Those who have watched the things that are happening and made their own predictions. I am certain that the good Lord will frustrate their counsel. Why? Because Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. And ye are the salt of the earth. So I know for the sake of you and me, this country will not experience what they thought it will experience. Something different will come up in it.
Amen.
CIA report said it clearly. That Nigeria will not survive beyond 2016. Is it 2015? Yeah, okay, that was the last election, right? Yes. And we watched it survive beyond it. And we didn't survive further than that. When there was crisis, of course, everywhere was tense. Those are the things I call echoes of accusation. Satan is speaking in heaven. Echoes of accusation. Tension everywhere. And I called a friend of ours, one of our sisters, who has a strong prophetic unction. I said, my sister, I know the Lord spoke to you. Give me the message. I didn't even ask her, did the Lord say anything to you? That's what I told her. I said, the Lord told you something. I want to hear it. I said, my soul is troubled. I need comfort for my soul. He said, yes, that is true. A few days ago, I was in my room and I was praying. And I was praying about the situation of the nation. And suddenly I had a vision. And I saw four mighty angels with their swords drawn from the four corners of Nigeria. And the swords were spread above. And they were covering the country with their four swords touching each other in the center. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, there will be no trouble. I said, thank you. That's why I called you. I knew the Lord told you something. And then the angel told Jonathan, pick up that phone. And he picked the phone. Dial somebody. And he said, I want to congratulate you on winning this election. And all the spirit said, let's go and look for who to trouble. Let's go to Somalia. They left the country. Are you getting my point here? What am I saying? That's how we derive prayer points from the word of God. Anytime I say this, some people laugh, but it's the truth. I still remember clearly where I was that day. I was in my car. And I said, this is my wife that I married. She had just become like a normal person to me. It's not good. I said, the word of the Lord says, be exhilarated with her love at all times. It was a prayer point. Then we said, Pastor Banky, you love your wife. It's not me. It's the word of God that is working. It's not like in our family, they love their wives. I'm telling you the truth. I just read the Bible. That's all. No, nothing more than that. It's Bible studied. I read the scriptures and it said that, it said, let her breast satisfy you at all times. I won't say more than that. The Lord is good. Apostle. His scripture. We just use the Bible to pray. Is it my fault? What am I saying? We generate desire from studying the word of God. Once you interact with that word, there are things, like I was talking about strife earlier, There are situations God will bring you to in life. I know, let me tell you the truth, the Lord is not afraid of anything. It sounds funny saying it like that, it's not obvious, but Christians must know it. A man who's called, a woman that's called into that realm of life, can sit down and say, there is a gas plant in Nigeria. I think I should build another one. Yes. You say, I should build another one. Do you know that simple thing? You know how you get it done? It's scripture. You just go to the Bible, the book of Psalms, chapter 2. We just read here. Say, ask of me, and I will do what? Give you the nations as an inheritance. Listen, whatever area of life you are in, you just get that scripture, read it every day. Ask of me. Then the Lord will point to you the direction in which the nations are. And he says, ask. And he says, ask. And he says, ask. So just say to the Lord simply, I will build another gas plant. I like the idea. It will be good for this. You know, let me tell you something. Desires, when God is generating such desires in your heart, it makes sense to you. I hope you're getting my point here. It's not a wild dream. Wild dreams, you cannot be firm on them. That's why it takes a strive, Masiwa, to believe God for billions of dollars. Because he knows what he wants to do with it, and the need is there in his face, and he sees himself as an apostle in that marketplace. Yeah. That's a man who has fought lions. He has fought bears. Lions have gone to prison because of him. A man who came from another country, stayed in Nigeria, and told everybody in Nigeria, I don't give bribes. He told them flat, I don't give bribes. You make your request for money, you put it in writing, explain to him why you need the money. The governor of one of our two of our southern states, they made demands of huge amounts of dollars from him. And he said, I am sorry, the money belongs to the people of your state. If I'm transmitting that money, it is going to the state coffers. It's not going to any account you give me. It's on his blog. No point me put all of this in there. Go and read his blog. And one of the men said, I will show you. And the man showed him. Fine. But finally, the man landed in prison, just coming back home a few weeks ago. The man has fought giants. The man has fought lions. He told them flat, I'm not bribing anybody. And he's calling Christians to join him in the campaign. Let them just know, you don't bribe people. And I know many businessmen like that. We don't bribe people. If you don't like it, take your business away. Are you getting my point here? Let me make it clear to you. The man has fought giants. So one day he said, look, the way economic business is going, I don't like it. I need money to move it in another direction. How much do you need? I think about 1 point something or $2 billion. So it's a matter of prayer. Let's start praying. And the money came. Listen. Look at a country like ours. He said, ye are the what? Salt of the earth. People talk about Nigerians going abroad for healthcare. Like our president traveled now. Because he's sick. I hope you know that that is what is called shame. Yes, yeah, it's shame. Your president is sick. They have to go to another country to go and treat him. Former president was sick. They carried him to Saudi Arabia to go and kill him. Sorry, to go and treat him. It's not good. Those are desires that people studying scriptures one day will wake up and say, ask of me. Say, Lord, okay, fine. I'm a doctor, or I'm allied to medicine, or I just have the vision. I mean, don't have to be a doctor. I could be an engineer. I could be a businessman. I just have that vision. And then suddenly I start thinking. I go and study India, you know, Indian hospitals. How did they build it? And you look at what can I do in Nigeria to bring it here? Oh, this is going to cost me maybe like $1 billion to do this. I just kneel down and say, Lord, give it to me in the name of Jesus. And listen, Christians will understand that life is a mission. Nobody, we're not concerned about Forbes list. Usually by the time you are making such prayers, you're not hungry. Hungry men usually can't conceive some things. By the time you are praying such prayers, hunger is not your problem. This is just a mission in life you want to accomplish. And God will arrange things one day. It will become a silly thing because of you, for anybody to travel out of Nigeria for anything. Believe me, I understand all of this. There's nothing spiritual in what the men are doing. It's just about equipment and experience. I don't want to travel to London, travel to India. In fact, it's just about the equipment. The experience will come. Ah, I'm telling you. Many people travel abroad to be treated by Nigerians. Yes. They go there, you get there, you find that Dr. Chukudi that's taking care of you. Say, which village are you from? He say, I'm from Udi. Udi? Ah, are you serious? Which part of Udi? Let me go begin. He say, sit down, let me give you American treatment. I mean, you came from Nigeria. That's a matter of fact. That is a matter of fact. Somebody can look at them and say, this is my mission. Then I ask of him. Then he gives me the nations as an inheritance. That's what we're talking about. And it's people like that that will redeem a country like this. People are selfless. They are doing what they are doing, not because they are fighting for anything more than, let us just do it. I know the interesting part. They are normally at the arrowheads. After that, everybody starts doing it. And then they cannot take their ease. Everybody suddenly starts doing it. They have opened the door. Why? Because they learned that he said, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as an inheritance. Believe me, prayer is our tangible, powerful, spiritual force. The reason why it's not been working the way it's supposed to be working is simply because we have not been praying it the way we are supposed to have been praying it. So Christ comes in the country, people start praying nonsense prayers, including divide the country. Divide the country. Prayers that are not stimulated by scripture. Prayers not stimulated by experience with the word of God. Prayers that don't have forgiveness in them. I've talked to people who have lived in Core North. Christians, I don't mean jokers. Christians. They will tell you that there's a reason why you cannot break the country. In fact, the person I'm referring to now, all right, he's from Anambra State. Currently lives in Enugu. He said, when I hear Southerners talk, I get angry. He said, they have not been anywhere. Let me add many words together. They talk out of selfishness. I like what the Pastor Corey said. He said, when you tell people, run from the north to the south. He said, good. He said, the thing that you are running from will come and meet you where you are. That the reason why it hasn't met you is that some people are keeping it back. And you are telling those who are keeping it back to come. So the thing gets strong, then it comes down to meet you where you are. That guy told me that day. He said, Southerners, when they talk, they don't know what they are saying. He said, the only reason why there are Christians in the north today is because Nigeria is one country. That if it was not one country, they would have wiped them out by now. We start giving you facts, figures. Here in Kebbi, here in Kaduna, here in Bauchi. We'll be giving it to you. Facts, figures. So for those who really believe in the advancement of the gospel, there are statements they don't make. Because that is one reason you do not need a visa to preach in an Islamic enclave. That's a matter of fact. That's I can get an invitation anytime. I get up and go to Kaduna. Get an invitation. I mean, look at the other day. The governor of Kaduna says he wanted to write a law that you needed permits to preach in the state. And they made it clear to him that Nigeria constitution says no. If you write the law, we'll drag you to court. It's not the constitution of Kaduna State. It's the constitution of Nigeria. Like a local business meeting, minister's conference, one of our brothers that was there, he's a lawyer. He said, Nigerian law, there is freedom. We're talking about ordination. He said, Nigerian law, there is freedom of expression. For that, and that Nigerian constitution says you can propagate your beliefs. It's entrenched in the constitution. And that is why even the Sokoto state governor cannot say otherwise. If you cut the country, suddenly he says it and it is law. So those who have the kingdom advance mentality, they are statements they don't make. They know the country as it is right now is a great advantage to the progress of the gospel. And God can take care of himself. What I mean is this. Listen, I said, do you know the God you are dealing with? Why are you talking as if he's a sissy like you? The God you are dealing with is not afraid of anybody. He's not afraid of anybody. He's not afraid of anybody. If you annoy him, he comes to your room, collects your heart, and holds in your face like this, and you'll be seeing it beating as you are dying. When you finish dying, he puts it back in your chest. They won't know what killed you. The God you and I are dealing with, the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, nobody stays alive one moment longer than he desires. The Bible says when he withdraws his spirit, they expire.
Why do we talk as if this God is afraid of somebody? In fact, sometimes I feel like somebody should just carry me and go and see our head of state in London and say, "Oga, you want to leave? I know what to tell you. You will be fine. You will be strong. And we'll go back home together." I know what I'm saying. I can't start explaining it now. There are about two or three things I will tell the man. These things, you will get well, the doctors will be shocked. Me and you will go back home. You go back to your seat, you will contest second tenure. We will still vote for you again. No, if you want to leave, just beg the Lord. I'm telling you. No. You see, I told you, if you are sick, I said, "Hey, Kahogobo Shala, he is as also." You never sick. When you are sick, you will lie down, JJ, and you will Ezekiah your prayers, face the wall. And you will say to the Lord, "Have mercy upon me." You will talk to him nicely. And go read your Bible. You know what what Elihu said? He said, when God was trying to tell a man something he doesn't listen, he said his flesh will waste away before his eyes. He will see his food, he would lose desire for his food. He said, if the man is going to recover, you need to find him a messenger who will bring him correction, who will say to the Lord on his behalf. No, go and read your Bible. There are words you speak to people, they get well. So I just added that one. Look, don't be afraid of anything. See, Christians are making us. Islamic men are killing us. Islam wants to drive us away. Drive who away? Anybody can want what they want, but what will happen is what the Lord says. Talking about desires generated from Scripture. That's what I'm explaining. So you open your mouth and say, divide the country. Don't say it again. You are saying, make it more difficult to preach the gospel. That's what you are saying. How can you with one mouth say, "God, open the door, let your kingdom advance"? Then I say, "Lord, make it hard." Why? Because we don't like the way killing is going on. Divide the country. And then when you finish dividing the country, your neighbor realizes that they can divide it further. Let me tell you, if they caught Nigeria, there will be, let me tell you, I live in Enugu, so I can tell you what happened in Enugu. There will be 16 United States of Eastern Nigeria. You know, people that shout autonomous community. That's when you know that they have not forgotten the expression. You don't want trouble. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What am I saying? Our desires must be generated by what? By the word of God. By interacting with God's word. I believe in long life. It's not because I love this earth so much. It's because there's a scripture I believe should be proven. That's all. I believe in health. Not because, of course, I desire good health and all of that. But the reason why my faith concerning it can be firm is because the Bible makes it clear that Jesus paid for health. So if I'm sick, I'm wondering what happened. You know, even if I died now of sickness, I won't change my mind that Jesus paid for health. Why? That's what the Word of God says. Later on, we will be finding out what happened. But I won't. This is my mouth. This my mouth will not say anything different from what is written in Scripture. My people, that's what prayer is. That's why Jesus said, "Pray like this, thy will be done." Prayer is not "my desire be done." It's "thy will be done." What happens is that I take his will and make it my will. Are you getting my point here? That's what prayer is. I take his will and I make it what? My will. Then that's when I pray effectively. Let's rise to our feet. Let us pray and close. One thing I emphasized on this evening is ask of me and I will give you what? The nations. Very important. Ask of me and I will give you the nations. How many people remember the story of Solomon? God came to him and said, "Ask what I can do for you." Remember that? How would you have loved Solomon to have said, "Lord, my horse is sick. Can you heal it?" No, think about it. God shows up to you in a dream. Or one day you are somewhere in the house and say, "Ask of me, what do you want me to do?" Say, "Lord, my carburetor is not functioning well. Can you fix it?" You know, he will give you a slap like, "Do you know who's talking to you?" I say, "Ask me." I didn't say ask your mechanic. Say, before I withdraw the offer, say, "Udechukwu, come and fix his carburetor." Now, ask me. You now look and say, "Lord, my mother called the other day, say our house in the village, the roof is leaking. Can you stop it from leaking? You know, God will abandon you and go somewhere else. Say, this boy no get sense." Why? Do you know who's making you an offer? I mean, even if the governor of your state were to come and say, ask something from me, you will not say, Your Excellency, I haven't paid school fees for my children. Can I have 100K? And he's going to wonder that. You know what? You know, he expects something better. Ask something that is commensurate with my office. Ask something that your friends can do, that I need the authority of a governor to do. Ask me something that only God can do. That's what God will say. If you wanted to ask for long life, yes, it would make sense. It wouldn't have been perfect, but only God could have given long life. Only God could have expanded his coast so that his nation would become very big. Those are the things he would have asked for. But God was impressed with the fact that he went beyond that and asked for something that only God can give, which was wisdom. Are you getting my point here? But I'm trying to paint a picture here. Let's learn to ask God for things. When he says, ask of me and I will give you the nations. What it means is I ask for something that is impossible for anybody else to do apart from me. You can understand, therefore, why it's not good every day asking God for, you know, promotion in the office, 5,000 naira extra a month. And it's a prayer point. Obviously, you don't believe in the power of prayer. If you did, you look for something a bit more difficult. You are getting what I'm saying here? Listen, whatever field of life God has planted you in, please, for the next 5 minutes, I'm going to give you, okay, a few minutes, I don't know whether up to five, start asking the Lord for hard things. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Apostle came with it. Ask that the Lord will give you television ministry. That when you are recording alone is valued in millions of dollars. There are people who watch you from Australia. Should be the world versus world. That they will watch you from Australia on a daily basis. Nobody else can do that but God. Ask of him. Are you getting my point? Not something you are doing when you are looking for extra money, looking for a new car. Rubbish prayer point. Ask for serious things. That, Lord, I want to stop medical tourism out of Nigeria to India to any part of the world. That's what it says, ask of me. Ask of me. He said, Lord, give me a song that you lead worship in a different manner in churches in Nigeria, in Africa, and the rest of the world. Ask of me. You said, Lord, I am the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Okay. My race was cursed by Noah, but redeemed by Christ Jesus. I want to produce a scientific, because I love science. I'm a scientist. I work in a university laboratory. I want to produce something that will change the world in this particular area, and they will know it came out of the depths of Black Africa. Ask of me. Ask for things that are serious. People who make calls every day, calling one big man, the other, invest in my business. God said, ask of me, and I will make big men call you. Ask of me. Ask of me. The major reason why God has not been answering many people's prayers is that, look, the prayers are not prayer points. They are wish points. Just wishing. They don't have a sense of purpose. They don't have a sense of direction. They are not looking for something great to do in life. You just want to ask for extra food. This is the word of the Lord. Don't ask me for food again. He said, I'm giving it to birds of the air. Just receive it. Say in the name of Jesus, the Lord, you have supplied all my needs. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's enough. I receive food for this day. That's okay. Leave it there. But prayer point in making requests, no, ask for something that is hard. Ask of me, I will give you the nations as your inheritance. You believe the gospel should be preached. Say, Lord, give me 100 million and I want to give out to the gospel. I want to preach the gospel. I just heard a pastor say that a man prayed for radio for 1 year. Okay, Lord, I want to pray for 10 radio stations for 1 year. And I said, I'll go to different preachers and say, please put your message. It's been a blessing to me. Put it on air here. That is how we'll fill the airwaves. Isaiah said, the Lord has sent me and his spirit. Which means anytime God sends somebody, he sends ability with him. He sends help. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest field. What does that mean? If we are going to fill the air with the gospel, God has to send people. Say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Lord, I want to own a secondary school where education will be different, not for money, but so that it will be done this way. Ask of me. The Lord said, I will send you help. I will send you resources. I will send you people that will go with you. But ask of me. 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 The Lord said, I'm stirring faith in your heart this evening to ask for things that people would have thought impossible. And I will do it quicker than even you have the ability to expect. Many of you are asking for things that you feel like, well, I'm just about 30 years old. God will accomplish it by the time I'm 50. God said, by the time you are 36, it's done. You are projecting that this will take the Lord 20 years to execute. God said, I will do it in 6 years. You will be amazed. He said, but ask of me. Ask of me. And tell the Lord, it's not for the flesh. If there's any flesh in it, Lord, I renounce it now in the name of Jesus. I am not asking because of flesh. Not fleshly desire, but so as to execute and fulfill the word of God, the purpose of God, the advancement of the gospel. He said, ask of me. Now let's begin to give the Lord thanks. He said, this is the confidence we have towards him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Begin to give and say, Lord, I thank you because you have heard me. Now say after me, say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
He has heard me.
He
is giving me the nations
as an inheritance.
The ends of the earth
as my possession.
In the name of Jesus. Say, I hold this inheritance for him to execute his will,
to execute his purpose,
to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, to spread truth upon the earth,
to show that indeed Jesus died
and redeemed us all from our curses. Say, in the name of Jesus,
I have ability.
I have divine ability.
God is working in me.
He's executing his work through me.
By the grace of God, I am what I am.
Say, God is birthing something onto this earth and is working through me.
In the name of Jesus.
Say this, I am not disadvantaged.
I am blessed.
I am not cursed.
I am blessed.
Help comes to me.
Say it, help comes to me.
Doors open for me.
Grace walks with me.
I accomplish by grace.
Not by my labor,
but by the grace of God.
I have asked of him,
and is working it out in my life.
I have hope.
I have expectations.
And I know he will fulfill them.
Because his word does not fail.
Once again, give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.
Say, Lord, 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 we thank you.
Say, in the name of Jesus, I give you thanks.
Say, Lord, we thank you.
Say, Lord, I worship you.
Just give him thanks in your own words. Give him thanks in your own words.
In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
If anybody is sick, can you just put your hands where it's disturbing you now? I want to just lift the word of God over that area. Anywhere, any part of your body. Healing is your portion. Jesus paid for it. Together, we're just going to come into agreement again, lifting up his word. It's the rod of Moses. The way he lifted up the rod over the Red Sea and it parted. I'm lifting up that rod again over your body. Listen to this. Himself took your infirmities and your diseases, and by his stripes you have been healed.
Amen.
Now, the authority of that word, I rebuke that sickness now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I command soundness to return to that body in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I curse that affliction. I say, be gone in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Life of God, replace it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
If you are blessed today, shake somebody's hand beside you. Say, I was blessed.
I was blessed.
What about you? Now answer the person. All right, now let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the peace of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now bless somebody on your left or your right. This is your season of multiplication. Bless another person. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. Bless one more person, please. Multiplication and dominion in the name. Now bless yourself generously. All right, cheer up, brethren.